Good morning, it's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Great to have you with us. Hope you're having a good day. Coming up later this hour, we're going to take a look at emotional relationships online, how they affect real-world relationships. Not talking about necessarily online sexual relationships, but emotional relationships with someone other than a spouse or romantic partner and how that affects those relationships. But first, we begin by what the future holds for those that are housed at the LA Men's Central Jail. The LA County Board of Supervisors earlier this week voted 4-1 to back away from a contract that would create a new jail mental health facility. The idea would be that the significant numbers of individuals who have serious mental health problems who are housed at the central jail would get more extensive mental health services. But there were concerns that the emphasis would be on incarceration as opposed to providing those services. Now the question is, what comes next for those who are at the central jail, which everyone agrees is dilapidated and not up to handling the needs of those who are housed there? With us, Los Angeles Times reporter Matt Stiles, who's covering the issue. Matt, thank you for being with us.
Hi, good to be with you.
So what is proposed as the replacement for the central jail in lieu of the project that's been canceled?
Well, nothing right now. I think what the supervisors have said they would like to do is for the chief executive officer of the county to cobble together studies and a pending study and report that's coming out to try to build a strategy going forward for what types of facility or facilities they might build, where and when, and you know who to contract with. So it's really up in the air at this point of what's next.
So does this further delay then for those that are housed at Men's Central Jail better conditions for them? Is this going to take longer for them to get some relief?
In theory, yes. So the way the original plan, you know, this has been an evolution over the last several years with different plans, but the most recent plan that had just been scrapped by the supervisors this week had called for replacing the Men's Central Jail with a new mental health treatment facility. And the plan was to move inmates from the Men's Central Jail to another jail and move mental health inmates into this new facility. And so that would have given over the next few years relief to the folks inside the Men's Central Jail. But now that timeline gets pushed back, you know, years potentially, given the amount of time it takes to secure a new contract, to design a facility, to get all the input from the community before you ever break ground.
And do we know the numbers of what we're talking about, the number of people who could safely go into mental health services but wouldn't need to be in a jail facility for security or safety issues versus those who need to be jailed because of the safety issues involved? Do we know the numbers we're talking about?
We know that there are 17,000 people at any given day in the network of jails in LA County, and a good number of them, depending on what metric you use, anywhere from a third to half or even over half, suffer from medical or mental health issues that require them to have extra care. And there is an Office of Diversion Policy at the county that for the last couple of years has been studying and seeking ways to divert less violent offenders or, you know, accused people to community programs, to other types of facilities to get them out of decentralized jails. And there had been a goal, an ambitious goal of around 50% of the population being diverted in some way to either a program or another facility. And this new construction was intended to kind of help with that. And it's just unclear whether that goal is realistic. There's some debate at the sheriff's department and among the supervisors about whether that goal is even realistic. You know, there are there are just thousands of violent people accused of violent crimes, or people who've been convicted of violent crimes or awaiting trial for violent crimes. There's 1,000 people in the jails alone on a homicide charge. It's really hard to imagine a system where you don't have a new facility where people can be housed in a secure environment.
Well, and we're also in this era where people, constantly in response to violent incidents are talking about, why weren't people paying attention to red flags, people with serious mental health issues or, aggressiveness against others? Why do you have to wait until something violent happened to deal with that? And one of the questions here is, how do you identify someone who is, potential violent risk as opposed to someone who's got a serious mental health problem that needs to be treated but isn't a threat to the community?
And that's part of the challenge. I mean, some of it in determining who needs to be housed in a secure facility and who doesn't really goes by the nature of the charges. But even folks who are in the jails on serious charges, almost everyone agrees, that's making policy for the county. They need to be in a facility where that's built for a modern inmate, that has communal areas, has natural light, where there aren't sort of dungeon-like cavernous halls or corridors where inmates can get lost or forgotten and they're not getting the care that they need. And so the goal is, even if you do have large numbers of people housed in these facilities, that they're built to a standard that, gives them a little bit more of a therapeutic environment.
We're talking with Matt Stiles, LA Times reporter, who's been closely following the future of the county jail, Men's Central Jail, which everyone agrees isn't a fit place for people to be held. The question is, what will succeed it now that supervisors have canceled a $1.7 billion project to build a downtown mental health treatment center to replace the Central Jail? Critics have said it really isn't a mental health treatment center, it's just a new jail. With us, the director of campaigns and policy at Dignity and Power Now, who's been working on the campaign to stop the new jail's construction in LA County, Lex Stepling. Ms. Stepling, thank you for being with us. What do you think should replace the Men's Central Jail?
Thank you for having me. I think that sometimes we talk about violence the wrong way, because there's this presumption that jailing is somehow a remedy to violence. And the reality has been and continues to show itself to be that jails are perpetuations of violence. And that if somebody has mental health issues or behavioral health issues or other forms of instability, their conditions deteriorate when in contact with the jail system, the court system, and the sheriff's department. And so it's been a failure all around, wholesale. And over and over and over again, we see that when jail numbers rapidly drop, public safety actually benefits. And so one of the answers is actually not to replace a bad jail with a new jail. It's to get rid of jailing altogether and invest in community-based systems of care. So the reporter from the Times mentioned earlier that Los Angeles County has an Office of Diversion and Reentry. And one can take a very quick look at their numbers. And let's be clear that they have diverted people out of the jail system facing all kinds of charges, not just ones that we might think of as kind of easier or low level. They've diverted people out of the system who are facing serious charges. And their rate of success with regards to people not reoffending has been 80%, which would put the numbers that the jailing system would produce to shame, as they have a recidivism rate of upwards of 90%. So what we see over and over again, what we see in jurisdictions around the country, is that when diversion is scaled up, when people are taken out of a jail-based conditions and placed into community-based systems of care, violence goes down. So when we say something like reducing our jail population in LA County by 50% is ambitious, it's actually just a pretty reasonable starting point when you consider how far ahead we are to with relationship to the rest of the country numbers wise.
How many beds do you think would be ideal for there to be for those who are held now at Men's Central Jail that you think would be a danger to have released and need to be separated from the rest of the population? What would be a reasonable number of beds to you?
Well, when we talk about beds, what are we talking about? Are we talking about jail-like conditions? Because that doesn't do anything to remedy violence. Beds is a kind of a metric or a unit of measurement with regards to how we direct resources into preventative steps into addressing violence. That's the conversation I think we want to have as a county. That's part of what was very good about the vote on Tuesday to cancel that contract, because that contract was based on a jail footprint. And we know that jails reproduce the problem. So, again, for example,
there's something I'm missing here. So if you take individuals, let's use your 80-20 recidivism rate. You're talking about only a 20% recidivism rate for someone who's in a diversion program. But if you have someone who's incarcerated for, let's say, several year period of time because that individual's threatened to kill someone, and you're buying 10 years or however many years that person's separated from society, yes, they may reoffend once they're ultimately released and perhaps at a higher rate of diversion. But isn't someone who's put into diversion a 20% reoffending rate? Isn't that apt to happen at a much sooner period because there's access that individual to get to society to commit a crime?
Well, you're speaking in abstractions, and that's not a...
No. I'm talking in real terms of years. I'm talking about the length of time someone separated out in a prison versus the time someone can access another individual to do harm while in diversion.
Okay, so let's do the inverse of this rhetorical setup that you're saying. Jailing, as you claim, jailing has a 90% recidivism rate, which means that when people go through the jail system, the likelihood of repeat violence is far higher than diversion, far, far higher.
But aren't the people less likely to reoffend the ones who are getting diversion? Isn't that part of its better success rate?
No, it's not. I said that earlier, that people facing all different kinds of charges have shown success rates through the Office of Diversion and Reentry. The data is hard and it's transparent and it's clear.
So that's not data across the board. That's data for the most serious offenders. Because I'm saying we're talking about two different populations, because the people that go into diversion are not the same threat level as the people who are in the jail. Right, on average?
Larry, for the third time, people facing serious charges have also shown the same success rate through the Office of Diversion and Reentry, which is one pilot program. If you look at other jurisdictions, the numbers are the same. So look at a jurisdiction like New York, where they once had an average daily population of 25,000. Our current average daily population in L.A., as it was stated, is 17,000. So it's not ambitious to want to cut that in half and get us to around 8,000 when you look at New York, which is now down to 7,000, and their violent crime statistics have gone way, way, way down since the days of 25,000. So again, there's a continuum of evidence that states that diversion as one solution works far better than the creation of more jails.
Okay, and let me just clarify. You're saying the rate of recidivism for those in diversion is the same across the board for someone who's there on, let's say, a drug trafficking offense as someone who's there for a violent crime. It's across the board the same recidivism rate in diversion.
The rigor that goes into assessment for diversion is done through the lens of practitioners who tend to be far more interested in positive outcomes than the Sheriff's Department. The Sheriff's Department, Alec Villanueva claimed during his campaign that the data he had was bad, that Sheriff McDonald kept bad data. So the data that now they're producing, trying to claim that this progress away from jailing is harmful is the same data that they claimed was bad. So there's that needs to be noted as well. But if there are 1,000 people in LA County jails, which that's the first I've heard of that data, if there are 1,000 people in the LA County jail system who are facing homicide charges, then there needs to be very rigorous, accurate assessment on how we deal with violence, how we deal with harm, how we invest in services for families who've gone through the trauma of violent crime, rather than using that as an excuse to keep perpetuating a system that has failed to do anything about violence. You mentioned we're in a time where people are saying, well, why wasn't anything done? The reason things weren't done is because the investment is in punishment. The investment is in post-haste responses rather than in prevention, rather than an accurate mental health assessment, and rather than community-based systems of care. So now Los Angeles is finally taking a step forward to invest in community-based systems of care, which actually answers many of those concerns on the front end.
And of course, the other issue is getting enough mental health practitioners who are willing to work with this population and being able to deal with the numbers we're talking about here as well. Lex Stepling with us, Dignity and Power Now, part of Justice LA, a campaign that attempted to stop the replacement of LA Men's Central Jail with a $1.7 billion project that the LA County Board of Supervisors turned aside earlier this week. Coming up, we'll talk with Joseph Charney, who worked for former Supervisor Zev Yaroslavsky as Justice Deputy for the former supervisor. He's involved with the process of coming up with a replacement for Men's Central Jail. We'll get his thoughts about this. Back with more in 1 minute on Air Talk. You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPECC. I'm Larry Mantle. Great to have you with us. We're talking about what the future holds in a replacement for the L.A. County Men's Central Jail. Joseph Charney with us, who was Justice Deputy for former L.A. County Supervisor Zev Yaroslavsky, worked on the jail replacement issue for a number of years. Mr. Charney, good to have you with us. Your thoughts about the supervisor's vote?
Well, it's very disappointing. I mean, tens of millions of dollars of planning and consulting costs have been given, thousands and thousands of hours. And when I was at the meeting, there is no information whatsoever that has come in to indicate that we should divert from our notion of replacing this dungeon-like jail, this Men's Central Jail that's been around for 60 years. It's absolutely incapable of really housing people humanely. And we have to put those people in the Twin Towers location, and we have to put the people who are now securing mental health treatment in Twin Towers, we have to put them in a new mental health facility. You know, I listened to the gentleman who spoke before. We have to deal with violence. You know, the fact is that young people get abused at home, and then they're victims. But when they go out and they rape and rob and murder, they victimize. And the criminal justice system has a duty to protect the community. It has a duty to treat people when they're in jail humanely. In fact, we have a constitutional duty to treat them appropriately when they're in our facilities. The irony is we don't have a constitutional duty to treat the mentally ill, the homeless, out on the streets. That's another issue. It is a continuum from the streets to the jails. But, you know, the fact is people are talking about it being inmate-centered. It has to be also victim-centered. The community has to be protected. You have to have a balance in the criminal justice system. You have to properly resource defense counsel so they can represent people accused of crime, and you have to properly resource the facilities that house dangerous criminals. And let me tell you, at the jail, in the jail, 17,000, three-quarters have committed serious and violent felonies. There are no more misdemeanors hardly in the jail. 47 has a limit. We've turned felonies into misdemeanors, and the misdemeanors stay in jail for 14 days.
So what about Lex Stepling's argument that when you put those violent offenders into programs to rehabilitate them, that their recidivism rate is as low as people who go in for minor offenses, that this is an 80% solution to the problem. They don't reoffend.
Well, first of all, I want to say that the notion that diversion is going to solve this problem, I call it the diversion delusion. I mean, when you have so many people who are in jail for very serious crimes, no one's going to deny that in general, it's probably more helpful to treat people out of jail than in jail. But that's not the only consideration. I mean, you just have to listen to the news and see people's behavior out there. We can't predict violent behavior. When people commit crimes that are violent, they should be treated where it is safe to treat them. And as far as, you know, I didn't even hear the word victim from the gentleman before. I didn't hear the word community safety from him. This is an ideological approach to the criminal justice system. And the Board of Supervisors are derelict in duty by just following that approach. They should really consider the facts, the evidence. You know, we went through 8 years, 7 years. We had consultants coming in. The health departments have basically told the Board of Supervisors what's needed. The sheriff has told. Probation department is told. The DA has said diversion is not an answer to jail reduction. Yet they ignore it all, you know, and they sing Imagine, There's No Prisons. Well, that's a good song. And maybe the gentleman before me can say it, but not the Board of Supervisors. They have a responsibility to 10 million people in this county.
All right. On the issue of mental health services, given the vast numbers of people we're talking about and what's said to be the largest mental health facility in the country, and that is L.A. County's custodial jails, are there enough mental health clinicians? Could enough people, even if you have the money, are there enough people to provide the services to meet the needs of the population we're talking about? Or is this more theoretical than practical?
Well, I don't know if we have all that we need, but I think that there could be more effective treatment of people who will probably resist treatment when they get out and have committed very serious crimes in the context of a jail facility. Now, let's understand something. One of our consultants indicated that by 2025, we're going to need about 6,500 new beds for people because of this mental illness increase, which increases every year. We're going to need far more resources. We need resources to help the people in the street. There's no question about it. But I think we have to focus on the fact that we had conceived of an institution that was humane. How did the Board of Supervisors allow the Men's Central Jail to continue to exist? You know, if you go down there, and I've been there, it is horrific. It is horrific. And we have to get rid of it. And we can build a better facility. And then we have to deal with crime and mental illness and development. These are other issues. And of course, they're important issues. We have to deal with child abuse. We have to deal with violence in the streets. We have to have better education, et cetera, et cetera. But also, we have to be balanced here.
Well, I'd like to hear from listeners. What do you think of the idea of the overwhelming majority of offenders, the majority are violent offenses who are currently in L.A. County custody, putting those individuals into diversion programs instead of incarcerating them? Do you think that that is a feasible way of dealing with it, or would that cause concerns for you for public safety? 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722, or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. The figure that was cited by our guest Lex Stepling is that only 20% of the violent offenders who go through the program instead of go into jail end up reoffending again. Are you comfortable with that? 866-893-KPCC says the figures are far worse for recidivism for those that are in the jail system. Do you think that that is a better alternative to jail, and that it would be best to have few or no jail cells in L.A. County? 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. JP writes, is it punishment or is it just keeping them from the people they could hurt? I don't like the idea of murderers walking the streets after X number of years behind bars. I'd rather keep them in for life until we have a good reason to believe they won't hurt anyone. Well, there's, you know, sentences that you have to adhere to as to when someone's going to be released from custody. But this is really the issue about whether a diversion program can keep the public as safe or safer than having someone who is separated out from the population while in jail or prison. 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Lex Stepling of Dignity and Power Now, Joseph Charney making the point that this all studied, experts gave their input on it. This was a years-long process where this was determined to be the best alternative. Your response?
There's a lot to respond to. There's a lot of presumption in Charney's points, and so I need to start by addressing a couple of them. You know, I was a childhood victim of a violent crime in 1987, and that person went on to be sentenced to consecutive life sentences, serving much of their time in Pelican Bay, Corcoran, and Corcoran State Prison, as well as Tehachapi. What I learned from that experience was that the system that Charney's advocating for does not serve victims, does not bring resources into our communities, does not bring resources into our families. Rather, it takes resources from us and puts them into this expansive, bloated, inefficient, and harmful system of mass incarceration. And it gets proven over and over and over again that it does not equate to positive impacts. When we talk about the numbers, the success rate of one particular diversion program, that's a pretty strong set of numbers. And you're skewing it around violent, what so-called violent offenders. This is across the board that that number is highly successful. The other piece being that we do need to invest in systems where we can talk about what does removal without harm look like? What does it look like to remove a person from the community who poses an acute threat or acute danger? The reality is that when Charney mentions so-called convicted violent offenders in LA County Jail, he's wrong. We're talking about people facing charges. People have been accused. So the numbers are inaccurate. The framing is inaccurate. And frankly, he's being very selective about his points, because if we do want to pour through the numbers, if we want to do that work, the numbers over and over and over again state that things like diversion and alternatives to incarceration produce vastly higher public safety impacts in every city and every jurisdiction across the country. I think that in an investment in things like prevention to violence, because we're right, we can't predict it, and predictive policing, for example, has been proven not to work. What we can do is invest in accurately providing care to our communities and taking resources away from jailing, away from reactive-based punitive measures, and into prevention and into services and into addressing the trauma that we face in communities like Los Angeles. And it's ironic, given that he works for a board that when they were in office, it failed to address these problems, which is why we had such high spikes in violence during that era. Again, when we invest in prevention, when we invest in community-based systems of care, public safety impacts go up. So it's actually not at all an ideological conversation, but a practical one.
All right. We're talking with Lex Stepling, Dignity and Power Now, Joseph Charney, who was Justice Deputy for former L.A. County Supervisor Zev Yaroslavsky. Let me bring up some listener points here. Yvette in South Los Angeles says nearly half the people in jail are there pre-trial, and being able to divert those individuals would significantly reduce the jail population by 7,000 people. Joseph Charney, you want to respond to Yvette's point?
Well, they're talking about, you know, changing the bail system, and it's possible that some of those individuals will be placed on bail. But make no mistake, when you have 75% of the people who have been accused of serious or violent felonies, the idea that they can be placed safely, diverted, and going to come back when they're supposed to come back, or actually they're serving time, I think is absolutely a dream. Look, the gentleman before me is right. We need services out in the community, but he has to recognize also, and I'm sure he does, that the inner city communities are the ones that are hit the hardest by this crime. The most violence is going on there, the most, you know, destructive behavior. There are many people in this county who do not suffer that kind of are not victimized that way. And I think it's irresponsible not to accept the fact that there are certain individuals who really have to be incarcerated. Not everybody can be cured with mental health treatment. That truly is a delusion, and it's a very destructive one.
All right, we need to break. I want to thank you both very much. Joseph Charney, Justice Deputy for former Supervisor Zev Yaroslavsky, back when Zev was an L.A. County Supervisor. Lex Stepling of Dignity and Power Now. He'd been working with Justice L.A., the group wanting the Board of Supervisors to reverse course on the new mental health facility to replace L.A. Men's Central Jail. The Board voted to do just that 4-1 earlier this week. You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPCC. Coming up, we'll turn our attention to relationships online, not just sexual relationships or sexting, but emotionally supportive relationships online. Can they do damage to, in the real physical world, relationships? We'll be back after a live update from Hetty Lynn Hurdy's.